You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and our God and Father, we do just that, that we might take advantage of the moments of thy word, of thy presence. God, you know us from inside out, upside down. So God, you know where we've come from, where we're headed. God, help us. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. You remember the Gospel of John is the last Gospel. John is the last living apostle. He writes the last Gospel. He's the last living one. And his purpose in writing is to present to us, in the light of the Old Testament, all the 39 books, from Genesis to Malachi. He's going to present to us the Lord God in all of his magnificence. And here it is all summed up from Genesis to Malachi. And here are all the prophets, etc. And all of the prophets and all of the words spoke about him. John is going to present him to us. In the light of the Old Testament, he fulfills it all. In the light of his personal ministry, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all of them to give his personal testimony of his life, his saving work. John is going to present to us the result of that. Do you understand Matthew, Mark, and Luke were speaking about God? God in his wonderful person. God has presented himself in a way that we ought to access. We ought to access and make available to our heart all of the wonderment of what it says. Now, in the light of that, in the Gospel of John, we have been, and you would note, remember, in the Word became flesh, verse 14, John 1 and 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to demonstrate, bring to us the truth and grace, and the fullness of it. And in verse 16, and of his fullness, have we all received grace in place of grace in place of grace. For the law was given, verse 17, by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses was the spokesman for the law. The Lord Jesus Christ is the voice from God of truth and grace. Now, and we looked in the fullness of it. He presents truth in all of its magnificence. What is truth? Truth is reality, the word reality, revealed reality. All that a thing should be, not false. The manifested nature and essence of a thing as it really is. The God of truth communicating the truth of God. Telling the truth about God. The truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring us truth, reality. Wonderful, wonderful reality. It's not going to be hidden, not going to be concealed. It's truth. Truth, that which is real. And you remember we had the, see if I can find one, a lead pencil. And we had the lead pencil, and if you could liken it to a pen. And the lead pencil, the lead would be sticking out in the end. And the lead is the revealed reality of what follows. And if you went all the way through the pencil, you would find the same lead all the way through. True. That which is true all the way through. all the way through. True, true, truth, truth. Truth is wonderful. Truth is reality. Reality. Not unreality, reality. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to give us the truth. You are the truth. That's right. Now, over if you would please, John chapter 3 and verse 33. Let me just quickly remind us about that truth. He is the truth. And if you were to read in chapter 3 of John, verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Verse 32, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth or bears witness. And no man receiveth his testimony. God the Father sent God the Son to give evidence and testimony and witness of all the reality of all truth centered in the wonderful person of God. Now, he came, but they didn't receive him. They didn't receive him. Verse 33. He that did receive, he that hath received his testimony, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am sent from God. I am come from God. I honor God. I am going to bring and put in front of you God, God's wonderful person, the truth of God, like the lead and the pencil. I'm going to put it in front of you. And you can't see the rest of the lead. You can't see God, but you can see me. Follow me. I'll be the same all the way through. Thus. Verse 33. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal. That is all one word in the Greek language. One word. It means to attest, to give confirmation, to make an attestation. It's the word used if you were going to sign a legal document and you would say, I'm going to attest to the document, it is true, and you would sign it. He that receives the Lord Jesus Christ is going to attest, is going to confirm, he's going to mark his approval that God is true. Did he present the truth of God and the God of truth? Yes, he did. And the believing heart bears witness to the fact that he is the true God. Now, having said that, over if you would please, over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and if I may, in verse 31, verse 30 to get a little better context, 5 and 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Why is that? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I came to bear witness to the truth, to let you know about God. What is God like? He is the true God. Verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. As perfect man, I in myself, if I bear witness of humanity, what is that? That is not the purpose of humanity, to bear witness of humanity. The purpose of humanity is to bear witness of God. Thus, verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. You know in John, well, you might as well turn there. You're sitting there looking at it. John 14 and in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me and me alone. By the way, I am going to go and to the cross, I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to, God is going to send himself in a different, in God the Holy Spirit. And by the way, when God presents himself again in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I'm going to send the Spirit of truth. God is true. He's the true God, the true Father, the true Son, the true Spirit of God. Everything about God is true. True. Real. God is really God. God is really, really, really God. Wow. That's right. Now, having said that, John chapter 8, what do we know? Well, the truth does something, you remember. He's the truth. So when he's bringing me the truth so that I can know the truth. Very important that I can know God, the true God. Thus, John 8, picking up, please, in verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, or absolutely, genuinely. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you want to know the truth, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I am the truth. If you continue to rest and understand me, you will learn the truth. As you take the lead pencil and sharpen it, you will keep finding more and more and more lead, the same lead. If you keep knowing me and allow to know and want to know me, I am going to bring you to God. 1 Peter 3:18. I'm going to bring you to God. The more you know of me, the more you will know of God. The more you know of the truth, you will know of the God of the truth. The truth will set you free from ignorance, indifference, unbelief. The truth will set you free. Now, having said that, and in verse 40, you know, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't try to kill me, etc. And going, skipping, getting the thought, in verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Not a drop of truth is in him, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Verse 45. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You don't believe me. I keep telling you the truth, but you don't believe me. Why don't you believe me? Verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? I'm telling you the truth. I'm not representing myself. I'm representing God. If I represented myself, you could say something. But I'm not representing myself. I'm here to represent God. John chapter 17. The Lord Jesus Christ is full of truth. So the more I understand God's word, the Spirit of God's working, the Spirit of God is going to honor whom? He's going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He isn't going to honor us. He's going to honor him. He isn't going to honor what you or I say. He's going to honor what he says. That's what he's going to do. He's the Spirit of truth. I want to know the truth. Truth is wonderful. Wonderful. Thus, John 17, verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, the Lord, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, who reveals him. That's it. The genuine true God. He's here to help us to get to God. He's full of truth and grace. Over, if you would, John chapter 5, the Gospel of John, excuse me, the Gospel of John chapter 5, and let us do it again, John chapter 5. When you come to the end of 1 John, 1st Epistle of John, chapter 5, you would remember, what is he going to say to us? After saying everything about what we need to know and understand. And then he closes with this remark. In verse 11, leading to it, this is the record, the witness that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Where is life found? It isn't found in your heart, in your brain, in your brawn, in your bones. It's found and isn't in your person. It's in God. God gives you life, his life, in himself, in his Son, in you. He gives you life. So the life you have, that's why it's eternal life. That's why it's uncorruptible life. That's why it's never interrupted. It's his own life. And he gives it to you. And he gives a relationship so that you can have a relationship. As you do, you have a body to relate to air. And you breathe it in. You are a person so you can relate to God. He puts a spirit in you. Body, soul, spirit. God is spirit. You are not an animal. You're not a canary. You're not a cabbage. You're a human that has a spirit. God made you. Angels are spirits. God made you to house his wonderful person. And thus, verse 20, chapter 5, verse 20. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That we might know the truth, that we might be in him, that we are in him, we are in Christ and he, the truth, and in the Son of God, the Son of God, Christ, who is the truth, who is the true God, who is eternal life. Therefore, little children, keep yourselves from idols. We're in the true God. Now, one other place, just to keep in mind, it's the truth. I want to have that fresh in my mind. God, you are really, really you. 1 Thessalonians, the believers in Thessalonica were saved in a wonderful way. And something wonderfully happened to them that should happen to believers today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. For they themselves show, remember all the believers were known all through Greece, Asia Minor. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you, the Thessalonians, turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son out from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. End of verse 9, to serve the living and true God. That is the great, wonderful message. John said, I want you to know who he is. He is the Word become flesh, full of truth and grace. Now, remember, God makes available truth to for us truth. But you cannot have truth without God, who is true. You cannot have grace, wonderful grace, without God. God is full of grace. You cannot have any grace apart from God. God makes it possible to have grace. Now, so God made us, God made our Lord for himself to demonstrate in his perfect humanity to show his grace, his person. God, you made man, who's less than an angel of the dust of the ground, to be able to house your wonderful presence. You have made them to participate as a co-laborer, as a fellow partner, to share your wonderful nature, your wonderful person, forever. Wow. Now, having said that, and God's grace was necessary, absolutely necessary, and we can't proceed without it. Can't proceed without his grace. So, and remember we read in John 1:16, that God goes, and as we've received him, grace, remember the little preposition, in place of grace, in place of grace, in place of grace. For grace in place of grace. And remember we said easy way, just think of train coming down the stack, and the train comes, and then another train comes, and another train comes, the waves of the ocean, better, the waves of the ocean fall, and they are replaced in place of the wave, comes another wave, comes another wave, endless waves. God is giving us grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. How can that be so? Because of the person of Jesus Christ brings to us the grace of God, and God is full of grace, and that fullness of grace flows out like the ocean, an endless flow, wave upon wave upon wave, grace. Now, having said that, then I'd like to get a little better handle on G-A-R-C-E. Remember, Noah found grace. Noah found grace. Noah, and Noah's grace was able to be an umbrella for seven other people. That's how they all get in the ark, you know, because of Noah. Noah found grace. Doesn't say they did. Noah did. They all got in because of Noah. Now, and thus, dear friend, would you please note in the light of that, let me illustrate again, if I can. In Exodus chapter 33, Noah found grace, but so did Moses. And I'd like you to be reminded as we read that, pay attention to it. Remember now the Hebrew word for grace, the Hebrew word for grace, to incline, to bend towards one, to bend the mind, the heart, the person, to bend down to them, to bend down, to come to their aid, to condescend, to come down to their level, to reach to them, to come down. Ah, grace! That's right. Grace, the wonderful grace of God. Now, and that's the Hebrew word. So now, Moses, remember, people aren't doing well, as you'll catch tonight. Chapter 33, verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. This is 33:12, Exodus. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. So Moses said, listen, you know my name, Exodus 3, Moses, you know my name. And you said, as Noah, I have found grace like Noah. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. What for? That I may know thee. I want to know thee. I'm not interested in whether we go left or right, whether we go at 20 miles an hour or 10. I want to know you. That's the point. God, I want you to work it out of my life. I want to know you as you work it out. As it happens in my life, I want to know you. Not to make it come out. How's it going to come out next week? I don't know. But I want to know you in the process. Verse 12. That I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I don't want to go, God, without you. I don't want to just say like a sign, point me there, and give me enough gas to get there. I want you there. And if you aren't there when I move, I'm not going. Verse 13. For wherein, verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? See, the point is, we can't have any grace, God, apart from you. You're the God of grace. God, if I leave you out, I don't have any grace. You got it? I have any grace, God, without you. I need you. That's right. So shall we be separated, the result. God is going to separate us unto himself. And I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. God, you God, I'm looking for you, for your grace, your wonderful, wonderful grace. I'm looking for the fullness of that to outwork itself. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And looking at our word again in the New Testament, which is the same, to bend down, to incline down to one. And you'll notice, please, in chapter 5, picking up, if I may, directly in the light of the context, chapter 5, and verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, that Adam sinned and we all followed suit, we all came out of him, offended by, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, he hath abounded unto many. He hath abounded by the grace of God, the gift of grace, the person of Jesus Christ. He makes it all possible. One person. That's right. God said, I gave him. Look at him like the lead in the pencil. Follow through. You're going to find me. All the way through. All the way. You're going to find me. It's a gift. It's grace. Grace. Verse 17, for by if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Wow. The gift of righteousness, the abundance of grace. Uh-huh. Going down to verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law came in and said, fulfill the law or die. And we were being negligent and making believe it didn't matter. And the law came along and said, it does matter what you do, what you say, and how you think. Verse 20, for the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, and the world with all of its ups and downs and all of its misery and etc., grace did much more abound. So in your life, with all that's there, because of the absence of God, because of the setting that you're in a world and you're in a heart and you're in a body that is living and has the effect and effect of sin, you are infected by it. So am I. But where all of that is true about you and me, where that abounds in us, grace does much more abound. Now, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through rightness, not wrong. Is God wrong in being so bending down to us and being gracious? No, no. It cost him his son to do that. It is his son that bent down and gave himself so that we, by way of his death, could know life. Thus, verse 21, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God's wonderful, wonderful provision of grace. Now, I'm going to try to exercise that. If you were a believer living in the New Testament, you are hopefully a believer living in this century. I want you to take advantage of what it meant to know Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. Over, if you would please, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, you will please note, I'm going to go directly to verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace. There it is. How so? According to the measure. How much? Of the gift of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. When you received, if you received Christ as your personal Savior, you received grace. How much? How much grace, God's inclination, his favor towards you, did you receive? The moment you received him, you received the fullness of God's grace. You can't have any more. You can't have any more. I need grace. No, God said, I gave it to you, and I'm going to let it outflow like the ocean to you. According to the measure, how much? God gave you that grace. God gave you the grace in the measure according to how much? According to the measure of how much grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that grace is to abound in us. In the light of everything else, it is to abound. Thus, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 2. If you have heard, Ephesians 3:2, of the dispensation, the stewardship that we have as the believers in the church age, the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. We are custodians. Moses and Israel were custodians of the law. We are custodians of grace. Fullness of grace. We are to represent Jesus Christ. How can you represent Jesus Christ, who is full of truth and grace, if you don't have truth and grace? He's full of truth and grace. And if he's in you, then you're going to enjoy the realities that you can live with. How can you live with the realities? By the grace of God, you can live with the realities. Grace abounds where everything else becomes minuscule. Thus, over to Ephesians chapter 1. We are stewards of this grace. Therefore, we aren't going to say, well, it's somebody else. No, it isn't. It's for us nobodies. But the belief. Ephesians 1, and you notice how it starts, and so with the other letters. Ephesians 1, 2. Grace be unto you, and peace. Wherefrom? From God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So every letter is telling you, hey, there's grace. How are we going to get along with God? Grace. How are we going to proceed? Grace. How are we going to do anything? Grace. God's grace. Wow. That's right. Ephesians chapter 1 verse. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. Even verse 5. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. How so? By grace are ye saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together. When Christ rose again, you rose again, if you're a believer, seated in heavenly places. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's how we get there. That in the ages, what for? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ. And who are you to sit there? Nobody. That's why God is going to put you on display. So God's grace, who is full of grace to angels, there'll never be a need for it as we know it now. Again, God, you're going to demonstrate grace. Are you a gracious God? I am. Take a look at the whosoevers that sit in my Son, where my Son sits, in his body. See them. They demonstrate whosoever's saved by what? Saved by grace. Do you see? Saved by grace. That's where we sit. Wow. That's right. That's right. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God's wonderful, wonderful grace. Grace. Thus. Over, if you would, in your Bible, in the light of that. Over, if you would, to chapter. Ephesians. You're in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I want you to know of this word grace. It's a grace. And out of it, it's a package and it has a number of words in it. Grace. And one of those words that comes out of this root, grace, that comes out of it, this inclination, etc., that comes out joy, to be full of joy, delight, to be delighted is the root. So here in chapter 4 and verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. There is the word, it's in present tense, it's in the middle voice, it means you do the forgiving of one another. And now, remember the word forgiving? Where does it come from? Grace. Grace. What are you doing? I'm going to be gracious to you. Or I'm going to say the word, forgive you. Why am I going to do that? Who are you to be forgiven? Who am I to be forgiven? Verse 32. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And that's in the middle voice. God himself forgives you. And you yourself forgive others. God is going to be gracious to you, and you'll be gracious to others. That's what you do. But that's your stewardship. That's your purpose for being saved, is to demonstrate grace. You aren't approving of all things. You're being gracious. Gracious. Would you go with me, please, over to Colossians? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Somehow my watch got turned upside down, and I thought I had another half hour. That's what I thought I had. I said, oh boy, I got time for this thing, but I don't have time. But we'll do something. Colossians 3, verse 13. Verse 13. Forbearing one another. Forgiving, there's your word, forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ, there's your word, he himself forgave you. He's gracious to you. You'll be gracious. Then what are you doing? It isn't a question we're good guys. Are you a good guy and a good girl and God's going to be gracious because you're good? Is that what we're going to find? You're goodies. Good. You're good. Good? Good? God's going to be gracious to you because you're good. No, he's gracious because he's God. Do you understand? Why are you going to do it? Because he's God, not because of somebody else or yourself. You represent God's grace, God's forgiveness. Wow. Verse 13. Forgave you. Did I give you chapter 3:13? Did I do that? Or 2:13? I'm trying to perfect. I've been on a journey. I've been admonished to be careful. I'm going to try to make less than 10 mistakes a service. Do you understand? And it's, if I just write it out, I could just read it to you. See? But now, with having said that, we read, even though you may not have been there, Colossians 3 and 13. Did we get that part? Oh, such a wonderful thing. Now, we're going to do Colossians 2 and 13. 2 and 13. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven, there's your word, having forgiven you all trespasses. Would you tell me, if he holds one thing against you, where will you be? Could you be saved if you have one thought, word, deed, something you do, that will exist, has existed, and will exist in your life, will exist next week? Can you be saved? God has had to forgive you all sin, period. Do you understand? All of it. All of it. And that's why we're going to go, because that's how we help. How much do I hold back? None. God did how much for me? In fact, if you let us live another 4 hours, we'll collect some more to be forgiven. And if we live till next week, we'll have another pile to be forgiven in word, thought, and deed. And God has forgiven us. And that's how we operate. So we don't carry load, burden. We don't grumble, gripe, and get all caught up. No, no. And thus, how should I help you? Go with me, please, over. First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. This verb to be comes out of the word grace. Grace, grace. Rejoicing, bending down, favor. And thus, in First Thessalonians chapter 1, may I pick up please in verse 6? And ye became followers of us, said Paul, and of the Lord, the Thessalonians, that's why they were so successful, having received the word in much affliction. It wasn't, they listened, and they were in a world, the real world, with all the persecution, just like in Jerusalem, and the Romans and the Greeks and the Jews were all after them, Gentiles. Wow, did they have a hard time believing, and they did. And they believed in the middle of it all. They said, no one believes that stuff. No one thinks like that. No one does that. You're crazy. And they held in there. How so? The end of verse 6. With joy in the Holy Ghost. What do you know about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and 22? The fruit, singular, of the Spirit of God is love, what? Joy. And there's your word. And that comes from the word grace. Joy. to be rejoicing, to be exuberant in all that you're pleased in all that you do. God, are you pleased in all that you do and all that you are? He is. Then I ought to be pleased, and you ought to be pleased in all that He is and all that He does. Joy, 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 joy. My joy I give unto you, my joy, that your joy, John 15:11, that your joy might be full, full, your joy, you enjoy, look at me, I am going to grace you, and you're going to be graced, graced, wave upon wave upon wave. Count it, James 1, count it all, what? Joy, J-O-Y, James 1:2, count it all joy when you fall into various kinds of test and trial. How so? Because where sin abounded, grace did much abound. What are you a custodian of? Why are you on planet Earth? Why am I here? For one reason, and only, I had that to be smiled with, and I still have it. One reason. To represent you, God. That's why I have eyes and ears and a heartbeat, to represent you. No other reason am I here. No other reason. I never had another reason. I never had it, and I don't have it now for sure. No other reason. Just to honor you, God. You see? With joy. With joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. My joy I give unto you. I grace you. I grace you. I give you grace. My grace abounds. My joy abounds. My forgiveness abounds. And by the way, I'm going to do all things for you. Why? Because I'm gracious. Moses, what do you say? If you are gracious to me, then take us down the corridor of time. But God, we don't want to go down the corridor of time without you. And with you, the whole purpose of God of going down the corridor of time isn't to get somewhere. It's to know you. It's to know you, God. And you give grace. You've given grace in your Son. How could we possibly know you, God, apart from your Son, who makes grace and truth visible? Workable. We can handle it. Something of frail human beings can handle truth, reality, raw, raw, rugged reality. And grace to work it through. Wow. Our Father in God, we look to you. Thank you for who you are and what you do. God, thank you very much. God, we owe you, and owe you. We're debtors, debtors to your grace. God, I owe you forever. Forever and ever. God, help us. And for those who know you not as the Lord, as Lord and Savior, God, do a work in their head and their heart. The young person, the young, the women, the men, people that come and go, God, bring them to a true, real knowledge of you. To have eternal life, to know you, the only true God. To have grace, to be able to handle each and every aspect of our day and of our night, of easy and hard, where all of it abounds, you, wave upon wave, outflow, outwork in our life, outwork your grace that we might be rejoicing and full of joy. God, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the forgiveness. of all of our sin, of all that we were and would be apart from you. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could have and sing, stand and sing, Amazing Grace, how great thou art. How great thou art, God. How great is your grace. Amazing grace that saves a wretch like me. Over if you would, 187. 187.